Good afternoon and welcome to Living on Purpose. Lynn here. I have Audrey Mary here. She just drove up from Victoria. She's involved with, well, let's just put it, staying in the moment and the Traeger method, which we will find out more about in just a moment. She's been on radio quite a bit, but usually from her home, so I get to initiate someone else live in the studio. All right. Well, if you want to be in touch today, please feel free. Anytime, if you want to be in touch through livingonpurpose@chly.ca with comments or questions about the show, suggestions for upcoming guests, that would be great. And when you're checking out our website, chly.ca, you will be able to go to my page if you check Living on Purpose in the schedule, and you'll see a list of guests over the last year and a half. I've been on air about 2.5 years, but I have sort of the archived written part of the last year and a half, and then upcoming into the future, so-called future. And I'd like to welcome new listeners. I know there's a few of you out there, and I really appreciate you listening in today. And certainly, my longtime faithful listeners, it's always nice to know that you're out there. And perhaps listening on the web at chly.ca. I think it's time to introduce my guest. Hi, Audrey.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
Good. Welcome to CHLY and live radio.
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be in Nanaimo again.
You lived here many years ago.
I did, back in about 1978 and 79, so quite a while ago.
Yeah.
But my children were very, very young then, so I hardly got out of the house.
You needed specific directions to get here.
I certainly did.
In the basement of the Queen's Hotel, for those who don't know, in downtown Nanaimo. You have written a book. Is this your first ever book?
This is my first ever book that I wrote. I certainly wrote some short stories and things, but never anything of this magnitude.
Yeah. I mean, it's an extensive book. How long did it take you?
Specifically, when I was just focusing just on my book, it took me almost 5 years.
Sure.
But I say it took me about 9.
Yeah.
From the time I thought of it.
Okay. And what's the full title of it?
The full title of my book is Traeger for Self-Healing, A Practical Guide for Living in the Present Moment.
Mm-hmm. And that's a bit of a trick for most of us.
It is, absolutely, because most of us are so used to dredging up the past or thinking whatever it is that we learned in the past is what we can take forward into the future and into the now. And that's just not the case. If you want to live a good life, you have to be here to do it.
Yeah, it's tough to be here because we're constantly looking for the familiar, aren't we?
Absolutely. And it's scary because this is like jumping off a cliff all the time. You have to learn how to trust. And that's a difficult thing for all of us to do.
So you've been involved with spiritual questing all your life?
Pretty much all my life. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was very, very little, I used to go to every new church that came up, you know, looking for something, and I didn't know at that time what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was 19, I was introduced to Transcendental Meditation, and that's what got me started, really, because I was able to experience what that unified field, as I call it in my book, felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling was something I wanted my whole life. And that led me to watching a Traeger demonstration happen by this doctor in this little town in Ontario. And I went to this tiny little community hall to see this demonstration. And I just drooled because I was watching the practitioner throw this man's limbs around and just dance around this body. And it just looked so wonderful. And I just thought, yes, this is for me. So
it's funny because I've never heard of this method before, but that's quite a while ago you're talking about.
Oh, yes. That was back in the early 80s when I discovered Traeger. And Dr. Traeger had just brought his methodology to California, actually, in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fairly new at the time.
And where is he from? Like, where did he appear from?
He was born, I don't know if he was born, but his family lived in Florida.
Well, he was born, for sure.
Yeah, he was, but I don't know if he was born in Florida. But that's where his family was. And then he moved to Hawaii during his residency as a doctor, and that is where he really developed this work. And then he moved back to the mainland, California. And while he was alive, he lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
But in his earlier time, he would travel around to different places. But later on, he was just there. But he passed away in 1997, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were immediately drawn to this. What happened then?
I decided to further study, you know, get some further study on it. So I got some information on it, and I took my first class in Toronto, actually. The Traeger system of learning is you have the class where you are, and you import an instructor. So there is no building, no school that you go to specifically. So we imported an instructor. It wasn't Milton at the time. It was somebody else, and had our class there. And it was a very intensive week. You learned to be in hookup.
Yeah, and hookup. Let's talk about that.
Hookup is a way of being. It is a connecting to the power of that life-giving, life-regulating force that we are all a part of. And so it is a connection, a learning how to connect to that. Because once we are connected to that, that is our fuel. That is how we live a good life. And that is how we can experience peace and lightness and softness. Because the life force that is that force that we are has those qualities. And when we connect to it, those qualities become part of who we are.
In a way, would you say that it's more of a remembering or a relearning? Because if it's sort of part of us and all of, and around us anyway, it's more a matter of remembering how to be more open to that, would you say?
Or? Well, it's not so much a remembering as it is a way of learning how to open to that. Mm-hmm. So it is not an intellectual thing. It is a real feeling experience. Mm-hmm. So there is a way that you can open to that experience and live it no matter what you're doing.
Like anything, doing
like
dishes,
anything.
Walking, driving.
Like talking to you
talking
today.
Right now. Oh my God, are you hooked up right now?
I am.
All right, so what's it feel like?
It feels stable. Mm-hmm. It feels clear. It feels light. Any wonderful adjective that you can think of, that's what it feels like.
Well, I mean, I think I'm hooked up right now. I feel pretty light. I think more and more in my life, I'm feeling a presentness. Like no matter how I'm feeling, there's sort of that presentness running alongside it or
exactly.
running through it. But this is not knowing everything that you've learned and what more I want to talk about. But for me, I think it doesn't matter what it is I'm feeling. The fact that I can sort of bear witness and be present with whatever it is, that's, I think, a key to it, really.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. Because this is a way of being in life, which doesn't mean that you're not going to experience the good and the bad with life, but what you are is going to be at the hub of your wheel. If we think of our life as a wheel, you are at the hub, and your life revolves around the rim. Mm-hmm. So all the fast pace is going around and all the overwhelm and everything we have to do. So if we identify only with the rim, we're going to be lost.
We're going to spin out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's where disease comes in. That's where dysfunction of every sort comes in. That's where you have to start getting all these other things that are around us, too much alcohol or too many things to buy or all these things to help us to feel good because we've lost that hub.
So there's a real despair really
Absolutely.
Involved there.
Yeah. So once you are connected and consciously connected is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. When you're consciously connected to that hub, that is where you're going to find your stability. And so life is going to go on, but you're going to have clarity and you're going to have your stability there. And you're going to be able to make better choices because of that.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay with the Transcendental Meditation?
I certainly did. And I meditate to this day. And it was lovely because I could get that wonderful hookup experience while meditating, as a lot of people do, with your eyes closed and sitting quietly. But then when you go out into the fast-paced world, how do you keep that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you keep that?
How do you keep that?
Yeah. So for me, I wrote about six little, what I call tools. They're mentastics, mental gymnastics is what Dr. Traeger calls them. They are ways that we can keep this connection. And how we do that is the number one thing we do is we pause.
Mm.
Now, isn't that simple?
If
the world could just pause, we would have a far better place. So the simplest but the hardest tool is pausing. And the reason it's hard is because of momentum. When we're on this rim and spinning away, it's very hard to all of a sudden say, no, I'm just going to take a pause for a moment. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, It is taking you to the gateway where you can find your self-awareness. So that's the very first thing we do, is we take a pause.
Well, I think we pause for just a moment here to remind the listeners that you're listening to Living on Purpose, and I'm in conversation with Audrey Mary from Victoria, and we're talking about the Traeger method, which we are gradually uncovering here with some new tools. Audrey, give out your website at this point too, if anybody wants to take a look while they're listening.
Right. My website is www.audreymary.com, and Audrey Mary is AudreyMary M-A-I-R-I. That's AudreyMary.com.
Okay, great. Okay, we've paused. Now, number two.
Number two. When you take that big pause, one of the first things your body is going to want to do is take a deep breath. So what I call this is umbrella breathing. So it's mindful umbrella breathing. So when you take that deep breath, don't just take it into your belly. Don't just take it into your chest. I want you to take it into all of you. So your back and your front and your sides, your back of your head, your ears, your face, into your pelvis, into your legs and feet. So take that really deep, wonderful umbrella breath. So as you're breathing in, open your umbrella.
Oh, so it sort of covers and shelters you, sort of
brings spirit into your being. We are connected to the spirit part of ourselves. We are spiritual beings. We are bodies. We are minds. So we are all three working together. And in order to bring spirit into your conscious self, we want to be mindful of our breath. So we bring it in that way.
Okay.
Okay, so that's number two.
Number two.
Number three is feeling weight in your body. So what I get people to do on the radio is to lift up your hands. You can tuck your elbows into your waist, palms up, and just hang on to that until you can feel the weight of your hands. And if you are energetically sensitive, you will start to feel that your hands are going to lose their boundaries. They're going to become soft and warm and puffy. But just feeling the weight is enough, because feeling weight is making us aware of gravity, and you can only experience the awareness of gravity in the present moment. A very tricky thing. So once we've paused, we're breathing into our umbrella, and we're feeling the weight of a part of our body. It doesn't have to be your hands. It can be your jaw. It can be your tailbone. It could be the bottoms of your feet pacing on the ground as you're walking. But feeling the weight brings you into the present moment in your body. So those three things are all you need to be present.
It's so simple.
It's so simple.
So, okay, there's three more things,
yes,
though,
there
right?
Are.
Okay, can I just pause for a second here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, we need to practice being present, because the more we're present, then the less attention will go to the past
and
to the future. And certainly being grounded in your body is a really good thing. And I'd never thought of that in terms of gravity. That's a really good anchor in the present, as it were.
Absolutely. It is. And being present brings you into what is happening right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take in all the information that's around you, not just your preconceived notion of what you think is out there.
Whoa, that's a big one.
That is a very big one.
Okay, let's catch up to these three other mentastics before the bottom of the hour, and then we can carry on.
Okay, the next mentastic is also a doing mentastic, and it is questioning. So what we do is we use beginner's mind, and beginner's mind is allowing yourself to be right here with innocence. As if you have never seen the person that you're looking at before, you've never done whatever it is you're doing before, so you are coming to whatever it is with a beginner's mind. And then you are asking a certain kind of question. Now, the question isn't, am I going to get that job? Or am I getting that new car for Christmas? It's going to be, how could it be kind of a question. So once we're in the moment, we are going to ask a question. How could it be if I felt softer? What did it feel like when I was looking at that sunset? All those kind of questions. And once you've asked those questions, then you're going to pause and wait for the answer to come. Now, who are we asking those questions of?
Mm-hmm.
We are asking them of our unconscious mind.
Okay.
And our unconscious mind is the transmitter, the filter to our spirit. So spirit talks to us through our unconscious mind, and our unconscious mind talks to our conscious body mind through dreams, through feelings, through pictures, all different ways, but the very bottom line is feelings. You'll get the feeling of what the unconscious mind is trying to tell you.
And quite often, those questions can't be answered if they're not asked.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's bringing them mindfully into your present moment that helps to ask and get the right answers. Questioning is one of the most powerful things you can do. Questioning in the present moment is very powerful indeed. Very, very powerful.
Okay, well, I have a question for you about that, but I'm going to wait because I don't want to distract us from the next 2 points.
Okay, so those first four are the doing part. We have in our life cycles, rest and activity cycles. So this is the activity part. The last two tools are the receptive tools.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is trusting yourself not to know what's going to happen next.
Come on. That's tough.
That's very tough. It's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. But if you're asking a question of spirit in the present moment, you have to trust that it's going to give you the right answer, that your ego cannot give you all the answers.
And spirit is so much steadier than we can ever be.
Absolutely. When we are just relying on our ego, we're keeping ourselves in a box because our ego only knows what we have learned in the past. So it continually takes the past and throws it into the future.
The big recycler.
Absolutely. Mm. So that's where our dysfunctional beliefs come from, all the labels we've put onto everything. And that translates in your body, because you are a body-mind, into holding patterns in your. So when we trust ourselves not to know the answer, we are waiting in presence, and something will come, I guarantee it. And the last one is finding your own personal rhythm. So the answer is going to come in your personal rhythm, in your personal time, and some things come very quickly, some things you're going to have to wait.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point, that nothing is ever too late. Nothing has taken too much time. Everything's perfect. And I think that's a big part of what slows us down and fills us with regret sometimes, eh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you allow yourself not to know the answer and stay in presence, you will get an answer of some sort. And it may be an answer that, oh, I just have to wait. And that's okay, too. When I'm working on a client, I will be questioning and asking and not knowing what's going to happen next as I am working. And the answers come almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time, you're going to get an answer within 30 seconds. I mean, in my book, I said, took me a long time to really commit to using these tools, even after taking the Traeger courses. So it took me months and months and months to make up my mind to use them. It took me about 30 seconds to have it work.
Yeah, right. Why was I pausing that
long?
Well,
really, really.
Okay, we're just going to take a moment, and then I want to ask you this question.
Hi, this is Carol Wellsman, and you're listening to Living on Purpose with Lynn Thompson.
And you are listening to CHLY 101.7 FM here in the heart of downtown Nanaimo. My name is Lynn, your host, and I am with Audrey Mary. So Audrey, with this questioning, was there a question you asked of yourself that was a huge turning point for you in that process?
Well, actually not. My questions were all little.
They were little.
Little questions that very gently turned me into the direction I needed to be in. And that's what I love about this, is that it's so safe that you don't have to jump off a big
it's
cliff.
It's not dramatic, like you said.
Well, okay. It could be.
Well, it could be.
But it doesn't have to be.
So little steps get you somewhere.
Oh, well, absolutely. They get you far.
Well, they do. As a physical example, I'm just realizing as I said that that's what I learned walking from Nanaimo to Victoria. I did that just over a year ago.
Wow.
And that to me was a real testament to, yeah, little steps can get you somewhere.
Absolutely. Wow.
So yeah, you could sort of parallel it to that mm-hmm. type of thing, but on another level.
So I started off just, I had a really bad pain in my back.
Mm-hmm.
So all I did one time was just shouted it out loud. Okay, what could be softer? And it was just that it just triggered all the other learning that I had, that I'd taken on my courses, to remind me that I can start little. I can just ask a tiny little question. Well, what could be lighter here? So if you're in a conflict, or if you're feeling anxious, or if you're feeling overwhelmed, especially now with Christmas and all the shopping and anxiety that we have to go through, that if you can just pause and breathe into your umbrella and just ask, well, what could be easier?
Mm-hmm.
How could this be gentler?
You know? Okay, so when you ask something like that, then the response would be your ideal scenario to come of it or something?
Well,
or?
It doesn't come necessarily as an intellectual understanding,
right.
But what you will get is a feeling
in
your body of, ah. Oh.
Okay, so that's in the tissues, right?
Exactly, yes.
And where those cellular memories are
yes,
held.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. Okay, so let's jump into this Traeger method. How does this assist? And I know it's not a matter of trying. It's not a technique.
No.
So what is the process then? Or how do you describe it?
As I said, it's a matter of being innocent and present. And when you're innocent and present and you start asking questions that are going to start unfolding and opening mm-hmm. you to your self-awareness, magic happens. It's just very, very simple. But the key is being in the present moment. And even as a Traeger practitioner, when I'm working on a client, I never assume to know how I'm going to fix them, because
mm-hmm.
I can't fix.
Mm-hmm.
All I can do is open to the present moment and give that feeling experience that I have to the client that I'm working on. And that happens through touch and movement. So through my touch and through moving the body, I introduce it to what it feels like to be present and to have spirit in there. And a person will get it and say, oh, that feeling. Oh, yes, now I remember.
Mm.
And then the unconscious mind, as it remembers what it feels like to not have that holding pattern, it will gently let it go. And it can be an instant thing.
It can see the difference.
Oh, absolutely.
The contrast is there.
And so will the rest of you.
And is this like permanent, or does it come in waves? How does that work?
That's a very individual thing, too. What I am doing is working on a causal level. So you are undoing the cause of your holding pattern. So that could be something that has many layers to unpeel. So it may take a long time
mm-hmm.
or it may release all at once. I've had both things happen, dramatic things happen and very gentle, soft things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on the person, how they've lived their life, what their holding patterns are, and how they like to release things. Some people are dramatic and they like
yeah.
the big release, and some people don't. So that's very individual, and
mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee how it's going to happen for you. But I can guarantee that you will feel better.
Mm-hmm.
That you will find what light feels like, what spaciousness feels like, what open feels like in your body mind. And that is the thing that helps you to choose differently so that you can start on your own self-awareness path.
Because we do bring so much of our patterning and our experiences in the past into the present and sort of base a lot of our decisions on those experiences for choices and preconceptions of things that we're looking at now moving forward, how would that change? Like, how can we describe something we've never seen before that isn't familiar?
It's a feeling experience, and it's not necessarily something that you haven't felt before or haven't known
mm-hmm.
before, but what you're going to be doing is doing whatever you're doing with more clarity, so that you're not closing yourself off to just the past experience you've
mm-hmm.
had, that you're open for some creativity to come in there. So maybe you're going to do something a little bit differently this time, or maybe you're going to make a little bit different of a decision. And so it's not saying that you're going to enter into a new planet and a new alien species that you've never seen before. It's just that everything that you do is going to be done a little bit more deliberately, with a little more awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're just not going to automatically take what you have learned and apply it to what it is you're doing. You're going to stand or sit with it. You're going to be able to see the whole picture. You're going to be able to apply what you need and bring in. All of a sudden, new information is going to come into your body mind. You're going to get a new thought or an inspiration, or something's going to happen that you're going to say, oh, I think I'll try it this way this time.
Deciding to do something with joy that maybe you had trepidation before, like just play with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that there's not this heaviness around it, this expectation of how it's going to be. Because when you dredge up things from the past, you automatically expect things to be a certain way in the future. So you're not opening up to all the creativity that's available, that it could be a different way. It could be a better way.
Stifling the joy.
Absolutely.
That's a sad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And joy isn't just a decision, it is a feeling experience that comes along with being present. Because the life force has this wonder, this joy, this calmness and peace.
And innocence.
And innocence along
with
it.
Just that openness to the new. Okay, on a practical level, when a person is in one of these Traeger sessions, are you on a table? Do you have your clothes on, off? How does that all work?
A Traeger session can take different forms. The usual way is to have somebody lie passively on a well-padded table in a warm room. You could have as many clothes on as you feel comfortable. We ask that you leave underpants on regardless, so that the person will feel comfortable as we're playing with their limbs. So a lot of people do take most of their clothes off except for their underwear, but it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. You will have blankets and drapes so that you will be covered and you will feel safe, because that's the most important part.
Sure.
So the Traeger practitioner, getting in the present moment, will then touch your body in a very playful way. We will jiggle it, we will rock it, we will elongate it, we will do many different little things like that to give that part of your body an experience of what it feels like to be present, to be soft, to be light. That experience goes into the unconscious part of the client's mind, and that unconscious mind will say, oh, I remember what that feels like, and it'll let go of its holding pattern. Or it'll say, ooh, I'm not quite safe yet, I don't feel comfortable, so it'll hang on for a while longer. So that's one part of it. The other part is the self-care portion, the mentastics, the mental gymnastics part. So whether you've had a Traeger session on the table or not, you can do mentastics, and that's what my book is about, that you can take these mental gymnastics and apply them to your life, and they will work. If you are coming to me for a session, and after we've had our table session, I will teach you some small little movements as we gather into the present moment, specifically for whatever part of the body I feel that you have a holding pattern around, or I will just teach you what we learned today, just how to stand in presence. And you can take that home, and the more you practice those, the better you're going to get. In my book, I say it's like a compounding interest account. The more you practice presence, the more it'll grow in the future.
And it becomes a big present, a big gift.
Absolutely. The biggest one of your life.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Before we close, before the top of the hour, let's do a summary of those six notes.
Great.
Again. Yeah. I think the thinking can get in the way of the feeling.
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens a lot because our intellect is what we favor all the time. And our intellect is really good for many things, for solving problems, for being linear. But life isn't always like that. And so paying attention to our feelings helps us get along in life, I think, a lot better. And it's something that our society, our culture ignores. If you have a feeling about something, it is not considered valid, when in fact it is the most valid thing you have, because your body does not lie.
Kind of
your
ironic.
Mind does, but yeah. Your body does not.
Yeah, and you can lie to yourself first.
Oh, yes,
first
we
off.
Do. But your body will not lie to you, ever.
Okay, we're still here in the present moment. How about you? Lynn Thompson here with Audrey Mary. We were just talking about what we were going to talk about, but that was then and this is now. So let's say that we're in a stressful moment and we're wondering how to cope, how to get through this one without marring ourselves, you know, that we have to get back out of it later. What are some strategies besides these six mentastics that we'll come back to in a little bit? What are some other strategies that you have found to be effective?
I'd like to tell a little story about I was up visiting my mother in the summertime. And she's getting to the point, she's actually going to have her 80th birthday, and she's thinking of moving into a senior's residence. And so on the way home, when I was coming back from her house, I started worrying and wondering, well, what are we going to do, and where is she going to live, and how is she going to be able to cope? And by the time I got home, I was in a real state, thinking that I had to figure all of this out, that it was up to me to decide. And then I remembered, oh, all I have to do is pause. So I did. And the first thing that came to me after I paused, after I breathed into my umbrella and felt the weight, was go for a walk. So I went for a walk. And as I was walking, I felt my arm swing. So I was feeling the weight. I was breathing into my umbrella. And I was remembering, I don't have to figure out anything. It's not up to me. That I just have to be present and I have to receive the answer. And the answer was, it'll all work out. Register her in some beautiful seniors' residences in Victoria, and there are many, and everything will work out fine. But it was amazing how I went from feeling totally overwhelmed and totally powerless to empowered and joy and feeling safe and peaceful. And that just happened within moments. I mean, I'm talking moments here. This didn't take a long time. It was just, oh yeah, I remember. I have to pause. It's not up to me to figure it all out.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of ironic. You feel the weight and it takes the weight off.
It does. Yeah. I always say it's a paradox. Feel the weight in order to be light.
Yeah.
You know, that's
that is interesting. Yeah,
it is. It's just these very simple things. We don't have to remember any other thing except show up. Show up and live your life.
Isn't it too simple, though? I mean, I think people are really invested in it being difficult and stressful.
Yes, they are.
So what the heck? Why not loosen that up?
There is difficult parts to this. So if you really want to be difficult, the difficult part is commitment. You have to commit to doing this. You have to commit to deciding that you are going to pause, that you are going to breathe into your umbrella and feel the weight.
Yeah, because there are a lot of techniques, a lot of strategies that, well, certainly I can say for myself, you know, something comes along and I think, oh, yeah, I resonate with this. And then it's familiar to me for a little while and then I drift away from it. And it's a real art to stay with something that will resonate ongoingly.
Absolutely. And it's your intention to commit that is the most important part. So allow yourself just a moment of willingness
and
to
it's
pause.
And it's the results that will testify.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You will notice the results of this. It sounds so simple, I almost feel funny talking about it because everybody says, oh yeah, well, I'll pause. What does that mean? And if you don't do anything else, just practice pausing. Your life is going to start to change. That's why I call these tools, because even just using one of them is going to carve steps into your self-awareness path.
I do pause more and more, and I immediately feel more present. I immediately feel more conscious, and it does make a big difference in my whole outlook.
It does, because you're not on an automatic pilot anymore. You have given yourself a chance to step away from the overwhelm that's happening.
Yeah, you're not so invested.
Exactly, yeah. That's really, really important if we allow ourselves just to do those little things. So give yourself permission to do that. I say give yourself permission to be a beginner, to allow everything that you do be mindful by pausing and breathing, feeling the weight of it, and asking, well, how could this be easier? What could be different about this? How could I find joy? What does peace feel like? Or if you have a pain in your body somewhere, say you've got a pain in the middle of your shoulder blades, and you pause and breathe into your umbrella, you can just ask, well, what would that feel like if it were easier, softer, lighter?
This is good because you're not intellectually trying to figure it out. You're not trying to give it a name.
Exactly.
You're loosening up from those concepts and you're just going for the feeling.
We love giving labels to everything.
Truly.
It makes our intellect feel safe. Okay, this has a label to it. You know, a lot of people who are feeling ill or uncomfortable, if they go somewhere to a doctor and the doctor gives them a label of what that is, they feel better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we love
to
have labels.
Oh, I know what that is
now. Yes, now.
Yes. I have this.
Yes, exactly.
I am one of those.
So it's our labels, and then our labels turn into beliefs when we have something that is repetitive over time. And that belief is another way that our intellect feels really comfortable. Our ego feels comfortable with this belief. Okay, this is who I am. And you identify with that. That creates a holding pattern in your body. So somewhere you are holding rigid a structure that is meant to move and to flow. Because we are bags of water, mostly.
Bags of water? Not skin and bones?
A little bit, but mostly water. And water loves to flow.
So. Yeah, and a great conduit for energy.
Mm-hmm. Well, and energy is the flow, too. So being in tune with that flow of energy in our universe, within ourselves, in your immediate area, in your community, in your world, is what we all need to do to heal ourselves and heal the world.
You were mentioning beliefs, and I wonder where it figures in when the way we are perceived by others, they have beliefs about what we're like. Like there was somebody I was working with today said that they wouldn't have taken me for someone who plays loud rock and music while I'm driving, and then were further surprised that I drive a standard. Oh, isn't that interesting? Mm. You know, it's not only our beliefs about ourselves, about what we expect or what is familiar to us, but it's also how other people perceive us.
Well, it is.
What do you think of that?
Well, when you're standing in your own power, it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks of you, actually. What I believe is that everyone, everything that you perceive in your life is a reflection of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody is seeing you as somebody who does not play rock music, it is their perception of you. It has nothing to do with you at
no.
all. Because it isn't you.
No, it isn't. Yeah.
And what I have found, the more solid I feel within myself, the more it doesn't matter. The more I can say, well, that's fine. Isn't that lovely that you have that perception? But it doesn't have anything that impacts upon my being because it isn't me.
I think you're right again. You're right many times in this hour, Audrey.
Thank you.
It's nice to be right.
Sometimes.
I think it's really important to continually surprise ourselves. We can be enhanced and sometimes limited by other people's familiarity with us and who they think we are. And so sometimes that can challenge relationships when you strike out on a path that is just on your own for a while.
Yes, it's very hard because what we're doing then is investing in somebody else's opinion of ourselves and trying to mold who we are based on their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not our authentic selves. That there's nothing authentic about that. Our authentic selves is spirit coming through our body mind.
In each moment.
In each moment. And we change each moment.
Oh, man. It's such a dance.
It is. We are living sculptures. Yeah, and I really like that concept, that we are constantly changing and moving and being different. If you look under a microscope at a paramecium and you just see how their structure flows and moves, well, in effect, our energetic body is like that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We are always flowing and moving, and people impact on us, but that solid core of who we are can remain stable because that's the one that's anchored in that infinite reservoir of potential energy.
Reservoir, another water word. Well, yeah, and actually a word that's come to me recently which is really helpful is impressions. Because that way it is an external force. It isn't something that I need to incorporate. Just impressions on me that can be lifted off. And so there's a sense of, yeah, lifting off the impressions and uncovering my authentic inner self.
Exactly. One of the things that I have in my book is that if you are going about your life like we normally do, living in the past, expecting the future, and something impacts you, it's like putting a line in concrete. And if you are standing in the present moment as much as we can, it is like putting a line on sand. We can erase it.
Hmm.
And if you are standing in the present moment all of the time, if you are a self-aware being all of the time, it's like putting a line in water.
Mm.
Isn't that lovely?
Wow, even less permanence.
Well, it is, but it doesn't mean that you are not impacted by life. You are.
Well, and you're responding.
Yeah.
And you're being kind and compassionate with yourself and others.
Exactly, but it doesn't have to stick to you. So when we find that there's a problem and we're worried about something or something is happening within us, it's because something is sticking. An energetic aspect is sticking to that part of us that we haven't been able to release yet. Mm-hmm. So that being present is very nice because it allows those things to leave. You can get angry, the anger goes through you and it's gone. You can be having grief and you can cry, and then it's gone. And it's the same with happiness mm-hmm. and all of it, so that we can live permanently just in this very pleasant, blissful, joy, peaceful place.
Hmm.
And that, to me, is what life's all about. That's being
that
authentic.
Doesn't have to be boring.
No, it isn't boring at all, actually, because every moment something's different.
No expectations and lots of surprises, really. Well, we're coming up to the final review of the six mentastics.
Okay, the first mentastic. And I'd like to say that we don't have to do these in linear order.
Okay.
Anyone that you use is going to bring all of them to
you. It's all effective.
So it's,
okay.
It's a circle.
Perfect.
So
we like that. We like flexibility
we
in the
do,
moment.
But our intellect likes linear. So number one is pausing. And as you pause, allow that mindful umbrella breath to come in. And feel the weight of a part of your body. It can be your jaw, it can be your hands, it can be your tailbone, your feet on the floor. Whatever works for you, feel the weight of it. And now ask, what could be lighter? And wait with innocence and trust that the answer that comes is going to be right for you. Your feeling of light is different from mine. It's unique to you. And honor the personal rhythm that you are. Whether you take in things quickly or slowly, honor that rhythm, because it's where you're going to be doing your best work and where you're going to be your authentic self.
Thank you so much, Audrey Mary, for being my guest. Do you want to give your website out?
That's a good idea. My website is www.audreymary.com. Audrey Mary is spelled AudreyMary.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for having me.
All right. Take care. I'll be right back with more Living on Purpose.